In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just as I commence the sermon this morning, I'd like to start by sharing with you a video clip showing some of the ways that people are relating to one another during the COVID-19 social isolation. These are certainly strange and challenging times when it comes to relating to people. That can apply even to members of our own family living in different places, let alone relating to people across our communities or across the country or in other parts of the world. I happened to preach just before Easter on the 23rd Psalm, of course, regarding the Lord being our shepherd. And today in the lectionary calendar, the theme comes up again in John 10, this time where Jesus speaks of himself in a parable as the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. But what I want to speak about today is the mission of the good shepherd. The mission of the good shepherd. Firstly, this is the mission that Jesus Christ himself does. Christ is the missionary. But then we also understand that we are part of that mission with him. And more than that, because mission is essentially what Christ is on about, more than anything else, and since as his followers we belong to him, then it is also essentially what we are on about as Christians, or should be. Now, mission, generally involving relating to other human beings, how is that going to happen in the middle of social limitation and isolation? But if doing mission is essential to who we are, then it's not an option now or any time. It's actually a vital necessity. And so we need to see again today what Christ's mission is, to grasp hold of it as ours and to be living it out in our lives. Doing this is the most positive, hope-filled, encouraging thing that we can know at all times and at this time. Jesus' teaching about the Good Shepherd in John 10, in that we can see his mission in kind of two stages, perhaps like an inner and an outer circle. The first stage or circle is his mission to his own. We read about in verses 1 to 6 in John 10. As he is the shepherd in the parable, so his own are those who believe, love, and follow him. Christian believers, the church, us. In the parable, we are the sheep who hear and know his voice and follow what he says. And what marks us as his is precisely that, this hearing and believing and obeying his voice. And this is a constant dynamic relationship with Christ. Every day we have to hear and believe and obey afresh in reading and hearing his word and in responding in faith and prayer and following him in every part of our lives. It's not as though we kind of graduate to become a Christian at our confirmation maybe, or our adult baptism, or maybe in a dramatic reconversion, and we kind of get the certificate and then we put it away in the bottom drawer and then we sit back and forget about Jesus. I mean, imagine if we approached marriage like that. Put the certificate in the bottom drawer, then dedicate ourselves to fishing or dress shopping with our mates. Dress shopping by online delivery, of course. And then most of the time we get about forgetting about the slightly annoying housemate who we happen to be living with. Well, no, that wouldn't wash at all, would it? Well, how much less does it wash then with Christ, our heavenly bridegroom, when we are his heavenly bride, the church? No, we've got to wake up today and every day and relate lovingly with our spouse, Christ, our good shepherd. The second stage, or outer circle of Christ's mission, is referred to in verse 16 in John 10, where Jesus says, "I have other sheep that are not of this fold, and I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock, one shepherd." Jesus is also concerned with calling, gathering, saving, nourishing other sheep not of his fold. Well, who are they? Everyone who is outside of the Christian faith. And let's be clear about who this includes. For example, every good Aussie bloke or good Aussie Sheila. You know, those people who are friendly, honest workers, they do the right thing, they love all the good Aussie pursuits, but they just don't have faith in Jesus Christ. They are those who are not of Christ's fold and need to come to be a part of it. Who else is included? Well, not only good Aussie pagans, but people from different generations whose life and values and way of life we just don't and will not understand. It includes Muslims, Hindus, those belonging to all of the other religions. It includes those whose morals we just find unacceptable. It includes criminals, from the thief to the murderer to terrorists and everything in between. And it includes our enemies, those who personally hate and attack us, and who hate and attack God. All of these, too, are not of Christ's fold and need to come to be. In fact, according to other parables of Jesus, he is more concerned with seeking and calling and gathering and saving and nourishing these ones, those outside the fold, that is the lost, than he is with those who are already found. Are we more concerned for all of these others outside the family of Christ's people, desiring and working so that they come to be inside? Are we more concerned about that than we are with those who are already inside? In how we go about worship, is what's most important to us what we like and suits us best? Or is it what best suits those who are outside the church and the Christian faith? Because if it's not the latter that we're most concerned with, those who are outside, how on earth are we ever going to expect them to come into the church? Another biblical way of designating these other sheep, those outside of the flock of God's people, is to say, all the families of the earth. That crops up in the very first book in the Bible. Meaning, all nations and ethnic groups, all communities and families within them. That's how big Christ's mission is. That's how big our vision for mission needs to be. Jesus' mission field and the action of his missionary work is the ocean. But often we, the church, operate like we're in a goldfish bowl. And we're the fish staring out bug-eyed at the big scary world, worrying more about how we can manage to survive just a bit, little bit longer, more worried about that than we are about reaching those who are outside, who are lost. Now, people cooped up, looking out at the world, scared to venture out. Does that remind you of anything at the moment? Well, people are like that all over the world, aren't they, in various states of lockdown for the COVID-19 crisis. And what happens to them? They go stir crazy. Healthy, wholesome human life starts to get twisted and shrivel up. And this is what happens when we're isolated from the rest of human society. Well, the same thing happens to Christians and the church that are isolated, insulated from all that Christ is doing across all the world and its people. Christian mission, Christ's mission, is a tidal wave sweeping across the ocean of the world. And we should be, could be, riding on the crest of it. The Bible also speaks of God's purpose in history as to fill the earth and the heavens with his glory. It says that many times in Scripture. To fill the earth and the heavens with his glory, that's God's purpose. Yet, at the beginning of creation, in Genesis, God says to Adam and Eve that his purpose is to fill the earth with their children. It says there, verse 28 in Genesis 1, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. So, does God want to fill the earth with his glory or to fill the earth with people? The answer is yes. You see, God fills the earth with families and nations to call and gather all who will look to him in faith and repentance, to create one big family, and this is the greatest fulfillment of his glorious love, and it was brought about by the greatest action and revelation of that glorious love. And this points us back to what is the very heart of the work of the Good Shepherd, Christ, which is, as he tells us in John 10:15, to lay down his life for the sheep. Here, Christ died for, paid for, forgave, removed all sins, all the separating powers in the universe. There is no other love, no other God who would or could do that. He is the only shepherd who ever became a sheep. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he did that all in order to truly help the sheep, giving them the only type of help in all the universe that could truly save and fulfill them. To that God, there's no God like this, no love like this. To that God alone belongs all honour, praise, worship, adoration, dominion, power and glory forever and ever. Amen. Do we see that great family of God redeemed out of all the families of the earth, won through the greatest work of the shepherd Christ on the cross? That is the expression of his glory. You see, they are his glory. And as the glory of God's love has overflowed to his people, and that glory has filled and overflowed them, it must be that they freely bring that glory back to God. So the final unveiling of God's plan sees those from all the nations of the earth streaming into the eternal city of God, the New Jerusalem, and it describes the scene as one of utter, unparalleled, unimagined beauty. And I want to just read you a little snapshot of that from Revelation chapter 21, verses 22 to 27. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light. And its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring into it the glory and honour of the nations, but nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The glory of the nations that all the nations are going to bring in to God's eternal city include every element of rich, varied colour, texture, taste, aroma, music and voice. The culture of every nation family on earth is to become an essential part of that true eternal worship of God. Eternity and the new heaven and the earth will not be complete without it. And as we said at the start, Christ himself is the primary missionary. He is present and at work in all the creation, including the Golden Grove part of that creation, or whatever part of it you're in, drawing and bringing all nations and their cultures towards that fulfillment. See, he is training, he is fitting them, all the cultures of the world, for that purpose through hearing and recognizing and following his truth, his true voice, and turning from the many false voices that he speaks of there in John 10, of the many false shepherds that constantly try and distract and lead us away from the truth of Christ. What is going on now through the COVID-19 pandemic, the world and the church? Well, they are being shaken and turned upside down. Mark Ireland, an Anglican church leader in the UK, has very insightfully compared this time for the church to that of Israel during the time of exile in the Old Testament. And in different ways for them, I mean, they were under political and military oppression in different ways. Nonetheless, we too now are going through great social dislocation. And through that time of severity in the exile, God's people were reformed from many of their idolatries. They were strengthened and renewed in faith and worship. And when they returned from exile, they were made better able to serve God and to be a light of truth and hope to the surrounding nations. In the church at the moment, we are seeing that our usual religious activities, you know, the way we've always done things for years, that we thought was so essential, isn't, because we are managing quite well without them. Why? Because as they've been taken away from us, we have been thrown back in greater and greater reliance upon Christ and his truth, and an existential dependence upon him, a vital daily looking to him in faith, like we do for our food and drink. And we really are discovering that he is our glory. He is our real fullness. and sufficiency, and that we can be fully satisfied in him and in the life, relationships and world he gives us to enjoy each day. In this, we are more truly, deeply recognizing and following his voice, and we are being shaped more and more truly as the sheep of his fold. So as we, as the church, move on from this time of crisis, when we are able to be meeting and working and worshipping together again, we will have an opportunity to be more streamlined in how we do things, to more effectively serve the mission of Christ, an opportunity to leave aside the things that may hinder us doing that mission effectively, and seeing and taking hold of all kinds of new opportunities to be his witnesses. And what's happening out there at this time amongst all the other sheep not of this fold, amongst all the families of the earth outside the church? Well, reports worldwide are that people are searching and seeking like never before. Brian, one of our church family, shared with me and with the elders recently how God laid on his heart that this is exactly where the wider Golden Grove community are at right now. That they're seeking, and that we all really need to be reaching out with the love and good news of Christ right now to them who are seeking. We all know that, like with ourselves, churches around the world have been forced by the social restrictions to move pretty much all of their worship and ministry activities online. And many, many people around the world who don't have a Christian faith or any faith are searching out and tapping in to those Christian resources. They're reaching out for prayer resources and ministries online to assist them to seek God and his help. This is people who never have before. Now that our resources are online, I'm aware of many more people regularly utilizing them than normally would be the case. And to our joy, within the church family, 90-year-old Bill and digitally challenged Kerry are now zooming in to our online Bible study like old pros. Great to see. True, the cultures of digital media can be used way too effectively in the service of hate and evil, but they are also being effectively shaped by Christ to serve his good purpose and humanity. What else is happening out there? In a newsletter from a missionary friend who lives in Chile, she began by saying, "I don't need to bother telling you any of the news here because it's exactly the same as everywhere else in the world right at the moment." We've been hearing the line from the Ben Lee pop song of a few years ago echoing around the world recently, "We're all in this together." And so there has been a rediscovery across the world of the value of community. People are looking out for and looking after each other. Selfishness is being widely recognized and condemned. Self-giving and sacrifice is being valued and praised. We've all seen the incredible support for the fundraising efforts of 99-year-old veteran Captain Tom Moore, soldiering around his block on his walker for hundreds of miles, and I think last I checked it was £37 million he had raised to go towards helping those in need at this time. And Mark Ireland also highlights that we've discovered that we can live more simply, we can embrace simple pleasures, we can consume less, we can travel less, save the planet because of that, spend less money, and be able to use money to help those most hit by the crisis. So in all of these ways, is there a recognition of the faint echo of the word of the Good Shepherd that is speaking out through the creation, calling and drawing them into what is true human community? Are people around the world, perhaps in many ways, feeling like sheep without a shepherd? Are they sensing and longing for their true home? The Good Shepherd. We spoke earlier about the challenges to mission in the present social isolation. So what? Christ is smashing it anyway. This is the mission and the mission field of Christ, the Good Shepherd. And it actually encompasses the universe. So yes, it's huge. And the Christian gospel catches us up into that. It snatches us out of any stagnant little church goldfish bowls we may have been swimming around in. And it lets us loose in the ocean of the Good Shepherd's missionary love and action. And this is a matter of the greatest hope for us and for the world at this time of crisis, because Jesus Christ is also the Omega, the Bible tells us. He is the goal of all things. He is and will be the Lord at the end of history. That means he's way ahead of the game. He's already at the end of the present crisis. He knows how it's going to work out. And he truly is the Good Shepherd, our Good Shepherd. He knows the sheep, he loves them, he nourishes them, cares for them, protects them. He lays down his life for them, and he says, I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. And he also says a little further on in John 10, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them, they follow me, I will give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will ever snatch them out of my hand. Grab hold of that in faith now. Amen.